Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Design Review. My name is Chris, and with me is Jonathan.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us again. So, usual podcasty things. Check us out on iTunes. We'd love some reviews. They help us get our podcast in front of more people and gives us some warms and fuzzies, too. So, if you can, visit us on iTunes and give us a review. And also, you can get our RSS feed on the website. Just look at the right-hand side. We have links to the RSS feed and to iTunes.
Yep. And we also have a bunch of older episodes available on the website. Just go to designreviewpodcast.com and scroll down the giant long page, and you'll get to see all the previous episodes we've done.
All right, so let's jump right into it because I'm excited for this episode today. So we're going to switch up our format a little bit, and we're really going to hunker down on focusing on the design principles of the apps that we're looking at. So today is more about playfulness. And in user experience design, we kind of got burned out a little bit on playfulness when we went through the whole gamification phase and then grew out of it and matured a little bit. But there's still a lot there to learn, and we have the perfect app today to talk about that. But first, I think we're just going to talk about playfulness, and then we're going to talk about the app a little bit.
So what is playfulness? What are we really talking about here? Because I think you and I have both written about this in different places, and we both have experienced this both in terms of, you know, thinking about gamification or just playfulness in general. But I think it's an important concept for UX design, and so we should talk about maybe what it is first.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really about, I think one of the best ways to explain it is one of my favorite quotes in user experience about from Alan Cooper. And he says, if we want users to like our software, then we should design it to behave like a likable person. And I think playfulness really allows us to have that relationship with the user and to be able to kind of give the app some sort of error, you know, margin for error, because you kind of have built a relationship with them, and also to kind of make the whole experience just more enjoyable, you know, to kind of delight them in a way.
Yeah. It's like make something that feels fun and engaging, whereas with gamification, we're talking about how do we use rewards or maybe don't use rewards, like we talked about when we were looking at Candy Crush. But it's a way of using rewards to get people to perform a particular type of action or behavior. Playfulness is a little different. One of the things that I wrote about it was about how software should be more fun, and thinking about how we can bring fun into even like enterprise software, because so much of it is
too serious. You
know, yeah, it's very serious.
I think as you know, designers, I think we can do this too, because we haven't been taken seriously in the past, and we, especially, you know, in UI design, we're sort of getting into where, you know, we're fitting right into the whole process, and we're kind of becoming the leaders of that process. So I think maybe it's partially because of that, but I think just in general, you know, when you have a small startup or you have a big company, you kind of tend to start being really serious, like we're this large company, and you know, here's the error report, and you know, please, you know, we want to look big and professional, and because we want to kind of have that respect because we are a company, we are a service. But there is something really, really special that happens when you're able to find a voice for your brand and then get that voice into your user experience, into the copy, into like those little details, because it really becomes engaging. It really becomes memorable, you know, and really when we create as user experience designers specifically, our job is not to just make the interface as easy to use as possible. Our job is actually to also to create an experience that the user remembers, that that's a worthwhile experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the goal of user experience.
Mm-hmm. There's probably some limits on how much you want to do in terms of playfulness when you're designing software or apps or something, right? Because there's a point where it might get maybe a little too much, but...
it's kind of like comedy in general. You want to know your audience, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, and I mean, that's a good point. You want to know the context, you want to know your audience, and you want to be able to do it at the right times. You know, just like comedy, you have to have the right timings for things and the right appropriateness. And I think that's why a lot of companies usually just stay away from it is because it can be, it's a little bit harder, but I
Yeah.
think the payoff is there.
Right. Yeah. Well, especially in companies where if everyone's like super serious all the time and has a hard time being jovial,
Yeah.
you know, it can be difficult to talk about playfulness in an enterprise application.
And I think a lot of people, yeah, I mean, enterprise is probably more difficult, or when you're trying to, like a bank or something where you want to be really serious, you want people to be
Right.
very, you know, so there is definitely places where you want to almost stay away from it,
Yeah.
the whole playfulness, but still, I think there's a tone that you can bring in, a personality, if you will. And it doesn't necessarily have to be funny or fun, but you can bring in that persona of the company. You can bring in that personality and really make it a lot more warmer and more human. And I think that's really the essence of playfulness. And it's a flavor of it, but really making the whole experience feel a little bit more human. Like this, you're not talking to a machine. You're talking to like a person wrote that text. And I think that's really
Right.
the strength of playfulness is you immediately get that wow, like the designers or the engineers over at, let's say, Wufoo, they have a funny sign-in type experience. So Wufoo has a cool one. You know, those people, those you kind of like almost feel a connection to the people who made it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what's the really, when you boil it down, that's what's powerful about it.
Right. But what if your company has a really boring persona?
Yeah,
Like,
and
you know.
you're, I mean, yeah, again, that's a good point. Because I mean, you might not be able to do that. You know, you might not have that because you could, if you do it, you're being out of brand. So it really requires the flexibility to establish a brand or to change it. Otherwise, it's a little bit harder. But that being said, I think, you know, if you do have the opportunity, you know, you're building a small app or you're designing a small app or a new brand, I think
Yeah.
it's definitely, you have a huge leg up because, yeah, those other people have a harder time. I mean, one thing that was really popular today was this a Twitter account of just calling out brand, yeah, calling out brands saying bae in their messaging or in their Twitter feeds and stuff. And it's just like so embarrassing because it's like, it's weird, you know? And that's sort of the negative side of it. But at the same time, you know, if you look at brands like, you know, Oreo, which has done a great job on social media, just kind of being playful and fun, it goes a really, really long way in spreading your message of your brand and creating like a personal connection with people. And we can bring that into the actual user interface and the actual user experience of the application.
Right. So like Monsanto, maybe not so much, but you know,
Yeah.
some cereal company, it's okay.
Some government contractors going to the Middle East, yeah.
Okay, so we have an app today that we're talking about in context of playfulness. And this app is definitely something that does things very differently. It's an app called Carrot. And Carrot is, well, they have a bunch of other apps. It's like a whole family of different services that they provide. Specifically, we were looking at the, what was it, the calorie counter app? Well, what is it? It's an app that talks to you.
Yeah, so the reason we chose this one is it's very interesting. All the whole family of apps use the same sort of Siri-like, but I would say it's more like Gladys from Portal,
Oh,
where
yeah.
she's sort of a little bit diabolical, a little bit, you
Yeah.
know, kind of mean to you with also being sort of robotic at the same time. So they've sort of taken that and put it into these family of apps. And this one in particular is about, you know, counting your calories, inputting meals and inputting exercises and kind of measuring how many calories your net calories are for the day. And they do it in a really fun way, both in the user interface and also through this persona.
So with onboarding, how was that for you? I went through and played around with like a whole bunch of different stuff in it. It has a really interesting setup process.
Yeah, it was so interesting. They really made it such a delight to use. I mean, right off the bat, you know, if you have the audio turned on, it's really interesting. So it first asks you if you're male or female or a squirrel. So like right away, you know, this is not your average app, you know, and it's kind of showing its character. And if you pick squirrel, it gives you like an error message, and it's like, we scanned you, and we know that you're not cute enough to be a squirrel. Please choose again.
That's awesome, because I actually didn't choose squirrel. I was going to, but I thought no, I probably should select the right thing. But yeah, even just seeing the squirrel, it was already a clue that this wasn't just your typical like exercise app or fitness app. The fact that they stuck a squirrel into the interface for just no real reason at all. It was interesting. But yeah, I don't know, like I spent most of my time using it just with setting it up. Like the next page I think was
Yeah, the next page is how old you are, but the way they even say that is on the date, on what date did you get pushed screaming out of your mother's womb? So there's that. And then I think we both did this, but you know, as you change the answer to that, there's a lot of reactions that happen. So you have an avatar sort of standing there, and it gets you know, bigger or smaller. You know, if you pick like really young, it becomes like kind of like a baby thing. And if you pick really old, it turns into like an old, you know, skeleton or something.
Yeah, I was testing the limits, so I put it to like I think it was like January like 1895 or something like that, and it turned into a tombstone. So
A tombstone, yeah. Yeah, and it has like, it'll say like 28 years old, like optimistic adult, or it'll say like, yeah. So instantly, because there's an immediate reaction and it's a playful one, you're instantly in the mode of play. And we've talked a lot about that on this podcast, is getting the user in a mode of play. And this is one of those ways to do it, is you give the user an immediate reaction, and then they want to do that more. It's almost like, you know, if you've ever been with a kid and they like poke you or something, and then you do like a funny reaction where you like fall over or something, then they're gonna want to do that again, and they want to see what you're gonna do next, and they want to see what you do next. And humans are just like that. It's how we're wired.
And what's interesting too about this is typically in other apps and other services, like you kind of want to get people through this onboarding process as fast as possible and into the actual product so that they can actually start doing stuff. But for this, like I actually spent a lot of time just playing around, like I said, like going testing the extreme ends of like what happens with this little avatar guy as you change, birthdays, or when you change the weight, it gets fatter, and when you make it skinnier, it's like turns into a skeleton and all this other stuff. Well, I was gonna say, like I really didn't mind like just wasting, like 5, 10 minutes just monkeying around with the onboarding process.
Yeah, and it's the same thing on the next part, which is like, you know, how tall you are, and then there's another one, which how much you weigh. To each one of those, there's like an interesting reaction about, you know, the extremes and lows. And you and I both, completely separate, we weren't even, you know, we weren't in the same room when we did this, is to check that out. And we both reported going through and checking like every possible thing to see what the reaction was. And I think what you're getting at is a really interesting idea, which is a lot of times as user experience designers, we get so caught up in making it the quickest, most distraction-free, easiest thing possible. And there's a lot of instances where maybe that's not the best goal for us to have. And I really think as ex user experience designers, it's to have a worthwhile experience. And so you might not be able to do this. This would be really frustrating if I'm setting up my bank account or I'm trying to add a payee to my bank, you know. But there's definitely places like this, maybe social apps and a lot of other places that you know, you can take a risk like this, and it can really pay off, because then, you know, this hurdle becomes a feature instead.
Yeah, exactly. And a memorable experience, really.
Yeah,
Like,
and
'cause
an
now we're
asset.
talking about
Yeah,
it.
exactly. And it's memorable. Like, I don't think I'll forget this app for a very, very long time, if ever, you know, because whenever I think of onboarding, I'm going to think of this app. And I mean, I can't say that for even what some of the other ones we've reviewed have been, or even maybe some of the ones I've designed personally have been, what they look like, but I'll remember this one.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so once we got through all that, after playing around with all the settings, then it was time to actually start recording calories that we've consumed.
Oh, sorry, one real quick note
Okay.
on that is they also, it wasn't just fun. There actually was some subtle guidance for the user in the responses. So, for example, if you said, or the first time you do your weight, I think it's whatever you pick. It kind of says, no, I think you're lying. I think it's
Yeah,
different. I think it's different than that. So it
yeah.
kind of makes you say, okay, I should probably put something more exact.
Yeah.
The second thing I noticed was like if you do something way too low, you know, if you they know you're 26 years old and they know you're a certain height and yet you're like 70 pounds, they put like a skeleton, you know, and
Yeah.
you know, and things like that to kind of say like, hey, like if you know, if you're like that, you probably need to eat more, you know. So
Yeah, yeah.
there's these subtle pushes, and in a lot of cases they wouldn't necessarily be appropriate, you know, like for example, when you do a larger one, the avatar gets really, really large.
Yeah.
But it's because there's a sort of like fun conversation that you're kind of in this relationship that you're building with this, you know, GLaDOS type person.
Yeah.
It really allows for that because the humor really eases the situation.
Yeah.
And so even though you're talking about personal stuff like weight, it really kind of eases the situation, which really serves the app's function really well.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go in there.
Yeah, so based on what you fill out, especially if you put a big fat guy as your avatar, it calculates how many calories you should consume per day based on all the things that you provided. I think mine was like around 2,000 or something.
Yeah, mine was around 2000 as well.
Yeah. And so all you have to do from here is basically start recording what you eat, and you can do it in the form of like photographs. I haven't tried the photo option.
Yeah, you can scan it. You can the photograph's really just a scan. I think it's just scans the barcode.
Oh, okay.
But
I thought you could actually take pictures of your food and it did something, but
maybe 'cause I what I just did is I would type it in.
yeah, me too.
And it's interesting because the actual core functionality of the app could be a little bit better, and I think it's a challenge that I think I've used maybe one or two of these before, and it's really a challenge for any of them is when the functionality is you're putting in a meal, like what did I
Yeah.
eat today? But I think the challenge is that it's not, you know, meals are very varied and they're very hard, and it's
Yeah.
very hard to think about for like someone who's not like a nutritionist or something. Like for
Yeah.
example, I had like some rice and chicken and it was like a Persian dish. Represent all my Persian people out there,
Yeah.
if there's any listening. And it was very difficult for me to like figure out like how I can measure that. So I just sort of put like a
Yeah.
chicken and I put rice and then I just hope for the best, and it was probably way off.
Yeah. I mean, even something simple like a turkey sandwich, it doesn't have to be, you know, Persian food, but
Yeah.
like making a turkey sandwich and recording it, like, well, when you do a search for a turkey sandwich, there's like, you know, a bunch of different results for it. It
Yeah.
could be like, you know, is it the Chevy's turkey sandwich at, you know, 900 calories, or is it this other one at like 500, or is it
Yeah, it sort of assumes you eat out a lot and you eat boxed food or something.
yeah. And they have different like different weights and stuff, and like I don't weigh my food. I don't know how many ounces it was,
Yeah,
or
or
you know.
kilograms and yeah.
Yeah. And so that whole experience of inputting like what I ate was like really, really difficult. And I didn't like that part of it just because it like I didn't know if I was doing it right.
Yeah, but I think as far as the rest of it, I think the animations were really nice. You should go
Yeah.
check it out. You know, if you're going in between screens or, you know, everything has a reaction in the app. So when I'm swipe, the elements move. If I log something, there's a big, you know, bonus. There's a reward, a reaction, an animation that happens. Like the thing starts filling up. And
Yeah.
so another thing which was I thought was really interesting was when I click the menu. So that's another thing that is a really difficult task for UX designers is figuring out how to put together the menu and the pages so that people know where to go. What I thought was interesting is because they had a speaking audio, the robot persona was able to kind of guide me through all the pages of the app when I went to the menu, and so I kind of described what each page does and kind of added a little quip about each one, and then it also suggested like I go set up notifications. So that's really cool. Is you know one big thing we like to do in user experience is to give is to kind of boss the user around in a way, like to say here are all your options,
Yeah.
but also not just make it like hey here's 1,000 options you decide, but say hey and then guide them into one and say hey, we suggest starting here. And that
Right,
really
right.
eases the situation of having the anxiety to choose.
Yeah. Especially 'cause it's just telling you, do this.
Yeah.
In
And
a
so you'd
very
be like,
mean
okay, I'll
robot
do
voice.
that. Yeah. Another, I think on the negative side, I noticed when sound is off, the app really loses all of its glitter and glamour, because you don't get that audio and you don't know what's going on. So I would have, and also, there's people who, might have hearing issues and whatnot, so, or maybe don't know English that well and would rather have it subtitled. So I think, you may, maybe they're not able to start that way, but I think it would be really beneficial for them to add.
Sorry, I'm laughing because I could imagine somebody like who can't hear and like they're going through that setup process and just like going like, "What is going on?"
Yeah, see, exactly. It can be pretty detrimental.
Why is there a squirrel here?
So yeah, the app as a whole was just really playful, really fun. Everything had a reaction and everything was animated really nicely. And all of that kind of put together with the audio of the main person. There's also kind of like a side character that's more nicer to you. So when they want to like just be straight to the point, they kind of use that guy. But yeah, I would definitely go check it out. I think it's kind of like a must experience for a UX designer because it really kind of opens your horizons, illuminates your mind a little bit on, hey, there's some other possibilities out there that are not as serious. Okay, so let's do closing thoughts. What did you think?
I liked it. I've tried using, I don't want to say I've used a lot of calorie counters because I don't really do that often, but I've used a lot of like fitness tracking apps and different like fitness apps in general. And I thought this was a really interesting and compelling way to approach this kind of issue of like just overall health in general because of the way that the app reacts to you when you do stuff to it. The voice is kind of like, it's kind of a mean, sarcastic voice and it calls you names as you do stuff. And it was kind of motivating and fun in a really weird way.
Yeah, I think for me too, one of my biggest takeaways from this was just how effective, like playfulness was a lot more effective than I thought.
Yeah,
I thought it would,
definitely.
honestly thought it would be gimmicky. Like the first time I heard about the app, a friend was showing it to me and he kind of just described it and I heard like one sentence and I was like, oh, that sounds like really dumb. But then once I experienced the app, I was like really shocked at how much like fun I was having filling out forms and my stuff. Also, just sort of the idea of audio as an interface really never occurred to me because on the web, which we're very used to designing for, you generally don't want to have any audio almost. Like you want everything silent. And I think there's an opportunity now that we've sort of matured as a industry to kind of bring back audio in certain ways. And I would love to see more apps try that out. Just hey, make sure you have headphones or we're gonna turn audio on. But then it really adds a lot to the experience, and I think personally I'm going to try and look for opportunities to use it more in the future, whether it's just music or if it's this kind of like speaking, thing. I think it was really, really powerful.
Yeah, it definitely was. So cool.
Right, so that was Carrot, and there's a whole slew of apps right now. Carrot, this calorie tracker is free right now. And you can get also the rest of them. We'll put links to all of them in the show notes for you. And so go check it out. Definitely one you have to experience. It's hard to talk about, but get some headphones and check it out.
And definitely think about ways you can incorporate playfulness into whatever it is that you're working on, because this is a really great way to engage people and hopefully retain people over the long term, because then they've discovered that, hey, this app is fun to use and playfulness can really help push people to do things that maybe you were struggling to get accomplished before.
And hey, if you're an engineer as well, you guys could do this too. If you've
Yeah,
read
totally.
some of Slack, for example, Slack always has some really good update notes even, and they've become almost like a feature for a lot of people that like, oh, I gotta go read the sh you know the update notes. And like, who does that? But it's a good way because it's not just it's brand building, and it's also because it's so engaging. Now your users know about the updates, and so it is a really powerful tool, humor and just this whole playfulness thing.
I mean, other apps use it too. Like
Yeah,
I
I
was
think
gonna
Yelp
mention,
does that as well.
their little refresh animation. I don't know if you guys have tried it on the mobile app, but when you try and refresh I think it was like the front page, there's a little cat that takes a trip in a rocket ship.
Yeah, I think it's a hamster, right?
Oh, is it a hamster? Okay.
Yeah, but it's so cool. Yeah, as you bring it down, you're putting the ship into him into the ship, and
Yeah.
then when you let go, it kind of rockets the ship up. Also, MailChimp is another really good one.
Yeah,
They've got a lot of
MailChimp
stuff
for
here and
sure.
there. And PhotoJoJo, I think, is another really good one. So they have a lot of interesting stuff. Two really quick is one is like when you scroll down to the bottom of the page, its button appears. They don't tell you what it does, but when you press it, a hand kind of comes down from the top of the page and does a scroll to top. And it looks like it's kind of grabbing like the material of the page.
Oh, nice.
And also one that I learned recently from a friend was that they have a secret store in checkout. So if you're lucky enough to
Oh.
find it, you go in and they have like stuff like bacon smelling soap and this and that that you can buy.
That's awesome.
And yeah, and so it really adds a lot. Another one that comes to mind is on Kickstarter. If you scroll to the bottom to the footer, there's a scissors, and you click that scissors a few times, and the page will fall. The footer will fall off.
That's nice.
Yeah, so brands are already using it, but see, you know, how you can introduce it yourself and also to kind of make it part of the brand, and not just a Easter egg here and there.
The Twitter favorite, the new favoriting animation. That's another one.
Yeah, another good one. Yeah. So keep an eye out. Littlebigdetails.com is a great place for that. And please tweet us if you know any. I'm Design UX UI.
And I'm Machine Human.
So let us know if you know any, and we'll catch you there. And we love talking UX, so feel free to bug us, and we'll catch you next time.
Oh, before we go, we should maybe talk about upcoming shows. We've been talking a lot about where we want to take this show and what we want to do with it, and this is the first of one of the shows that we're testing out, where we want to talk more about principles and less about particular apps. Not that we're not going to talk about apps anymore, but we're going to talk about them in the context of some overarching principle like we just did today.
Yeah, so let us know what you think of today's show, or if you think it should change in any way. You know, we're very open to feedback. We want this to be a learning experience for you guys as well, because it is a learning experience for us. But we want this to be enjoyable for designers. So we've implemented a lot of that. If you've been following the show and you've, you know, left a comment or tweeted at us, we've implemented a lot of those things. So yeah.
So we'll probably have another one out in a couple weeks after this.
Yep.
So we're switching from our regular weekly scheduled show to a every 2 week scheduled show. All right, every
Yeah, we
2 weeks.
really want it to be have a lot more meat on it for you guys. We are really sensitive of your time, and you know, there's only so many podcasts you can listen to. So, and there's a lot of design podcasts out there, so we really want to make ours worthwhile.
Cool. All right, guys. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time.
All right, take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.